Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. Hope your Wednesday is going well. It kind of started off not so well. Sue's back in the studio today. I'm excited to see you.
Well, thanks.
I heard you yesterday, which you always sound great. It's funny, anytime I post a picture about filling in on the Mark Reardon Show, someone always comments about how much they love Sue.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I'm like, that's great. I'm filling in on this show. And they're like, you know, I love Sue. I'm like, that's great. Fred's hanging out with us. Fred, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Mike. I wanted to ask Sue, how busy were you this morning doing traffic?
It was nuts, Fred.
That was crazy.
I'll tell you what, sorry, I was throwing something out. When it pours down rain, people think, you know what, I can still pass at this high rate of speed here in the left lane, even though water is collecting. So we had multiple accidents of people spinning out the left lane and hitting the median.
It's always the left lane, too.
Yes.
It's always the left lane, because that's where that water sits.
It is. And people are trying to pass. One was it a Mustang that spun out? All variety of vehicles. It's not one versus the other.
We had East-West Gateway this morning downtown. So I was leaving my office at 70 and 79, and I thought I left plenty of time. I left my office at 9, so I'm taking 70 straight downtown.
Yeah.
I pass 170, and traffic stops.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, crap. Normally, I will set my maps.
Right.
Not because I don't know where I'm going. Don't hear what I didn't say, right? So it's not because that. I like to see what's the time frame.
Sure.
So then I know, okay, how much time do I actually have? Well, I didn't set it. So I went in and I pulled it up, and it's like, you're going to arrive at 10:30. I'm like, oh, crap.
Holy.
Like, it's 10 after 9 or so when I'm there.
Oh,
so
wow.
I flipped, and it took me off at Handley, flipped me back, took me down 270, and brought me in on 40.
Dang.
It was that big of a delay. Sue, I saw on my way just from 79 to Handley at least 4 accidents of exactly what you're talking about.
People lane.
Either they hit the median, or 2 of them actually went off on the right lane sitting up in the grassy area. Like where Kennedy got shot, right? From the grassy median is where they were sitting up there.
It's losing control. It's hydroplaning, but you're going too fast generally if that's happening, especially on the right lane if you're going all the way off the road and up onto the grass.
Yeah.
Dang.
Was the rain bad this morning, or was it just the conditions of the roads that made it bad?
It was fine to start, and then it hits, and when it hits mid-rush hour, you're not even though you should know that it's going to rain.
Right.
Somehow that's always worse. If it's raining to begin with, people are like, oh, okay.
It's raining.
I've got to give myself extra time. If not, then they get out there and think, oh, crap, I've got to hit the gas pedal and get there faster.
Well, I appreciate you letting me know because, you know, I'm usually not awake at rush hour time. So,
unfortunately, he's driving in it.
When I was coming in at 7:30 this morning.
Ooh, Fred.
I know. It was, and I was listening to all the crashes into the medians. So I was staying on the right-hand side. But at some parts on 55, as I was coming into downtown, it was raining so hard that you couldn't see your lane.
Okay, see, that's part of the problem. Right. And Fred, are you talking about the construction zone especially?
Even past the construction zone.
Yeah,
because we were going slowly enough through the construction zone
right.
that you didn't really have that risk. But once you got out of it, people would pick up their speed a little bit. Well, that's when you couldn't see your lane.
Yeah, and they've repaved some of that. Fred and I live in the nightmare that is the construction of 55. And when you come up there, they've repaved some of it. Now, this is north of Virginia, but they haven't painted it yet. So it's those little flappy reflective things.
Oh, yeah.
I was definitely looking for the flappy things.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
Look, that is a sentence that you just don't hear every day.
But
Fred Bottomer says, I was looking for the flappy things.
But you know exactly what we
I
mean.
I do. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
So, yeah.
And Fred, I'm with you. It was horrible earlier today.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. So this is one reason why, I bet. I just did a review with my insurance guy to talk about my homeowners and my car insurance. Everything's going up. And this has become a news story that I've seen quite a bit lately. Of the cost of insurance is skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
You've had all this stuff that happened out in California. You've had all this stuff that's happened down in Florida. And those insurance companies, I guess, trying to absorb all that they're paying out, the rest of us around the country are getting hit with it. But we have an awful lot of accidents in St. Louis. I think there is a good portion of people here who drive better on snow, and they don't drive well on snow, but they drive better on that than they do in the rain some days.
And I think part of that is because people get freaked out by the snow and slow down. Rain, you think, it's rain. Yeah, it'll be
fine. Yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll run into 3 or 4 or 5 cars. It'll be fine. I've always loved bumper cars. Well, back to the original show that we were starting with. By the way, the Cardinals won the first game today. You know, they had a rainout yesterday, so they had a doubleheader. I think in the 9th inning, they may have hit more home runs than they've hit all year so far. Just making that stat up, by the way. How close am I, Ethan?
I don't know how close you are, but they did hit back-to-back-to-back in the 9th inning, so that's always refreshing to see.
Powers, didn't they hit 5 in the 9th inning?
Home runs?
Yeah.
No, they hit 3.
Oh, okay.
They hit 3.
It just seemed like every
time. They hit 4
in
the game.
I looked up at the TV and like, wait, hey. There's another tally. Where'd that come from? Oh, yep. He hit a home run. I'm like, wait, I thought we were watching the Cardinals.
Definitely refreshing to see.
Yeah, so we'll see. They're playing 2 today, so that's kind of exciting. We'll see where that goes. Mason Wynn's having a good day. What was I thinking about? Oh, did anybody watch the ABC interview with Trump? I love it when he just calls out these reporters straight out. And he just says, you know, you're fake news. You don't report stuff right. He gets into it with Terry Moran over and over and over again. Ethan, let's start with cut number 27.
Do you think the reputation of the United States has gone down under your presidency?
No, I think it's gone way up, and I think we're a respected country again. We were laughed at all over the world. We had a president that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, couldn't walk down a flight of stairs, couldn't walk across a stage without falling. We had a president that was grossly incompetent. You knew it, I knew it, and everybody knew it, but you guys didn't want to write it because you're fake news.
All right. Thank you.
And by the way, ABC is one of the worst. I have to be honest with you.
All right. Thank you. He says, that's hilarious. And by the way, you're one of the worst. Fred, you are a radio Hall of Famer. So I'm just curious. Have you ever seen it to be really beneficial for you to argue with someone who's a big fancy person, like a congressperson, a senator, or a president? If you're doing the interview, does it ever really work to your benefit to argue with them?
No. And I usually don't get into arguments because I just ask questions. I don't ask a question with an opinion.
It's very funny.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
But it's true. That's one of the many reasons why he's a Hall of Famer. But they got into this whole tussle back and forth about tattoos. And the guy who got deported back to El Salvador, what tattoos did he have? This is how that went. Cut 28.
On his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute.
But wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hey, Terry.
Carey.
He did not have the letter MS13.
It says MS13.
That was Photoshop.
Do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture.
You think it was Photoshop?
Well, here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to Ukraine.
No, Carey. He had MS as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why people no longer believe the news.
I love the sigh at the end. No. Terry, let's come back here. You're full of crap, Terry, right?
And if the guy is saying it's tattooed on him that we can interpret it different ways, makes no sense.
No.
What I think is so enjoyable about this is you see it time and time again in interviewings, especially this style of interview politically, where the interviewer tries to keep the momentum on their side, right?
Yes.
And they'll make those little digs and those little comments. And then they'll try to move on from them, but without giving the interviewee a chance to say anything. I'm impressed by how Trump's like, no.
We're not going to move on until
we address that. And he did it over and over. And I thought that was great.
No, Terry, you're full of crap. I'm not letting that go. Do you know who is the worst at what you're talking about? Oh, and I'm blanking on her name right now. She's the Meet the Press host on Sunday Morning Now.
I look at Fred because Fred might know. Do you know who that is? I don't watch it.
Oh, I should, but I'm trying to blank as well.
I'm blanking on her right now. And I record it, and I watch it every Sunday morning.
Yeah, it tells you something. It
that explains the mental illness that's going on. But she, whenever someone makes a point and she disagrees with it, before she turns the page and goes on to the next thing, she'll always say, yes, but that's all been proven to be completely made up and completely wrong.
Kristen
Welker. She does that all the time. And so many of the hosts, now there's some who will push back, but so many of the interviewees will say, okay, whatever. And they'll just roll with it. I'm like, no, push back on that. Don't let her. She just said everything that you just said was made up and false. Don't let her get away with that. Go back and say, no, Kristen, that's not true. It's been proven here. I love when Trump goes at that and he decides to say, nah, you're full of crap. We are not going to do that. Hey, we're going to talk to Ann Wagner coming up in just a little bit. And she is in the middle of talking about the big, beautiful bill. That's the big thing that Trump has been asking for, because not only is it going to make sure that the Trump tax cuts he put in place in the first term don't expire, but he's also got a number of other things in there that are going to make sure that we're able to continue a lot of different points. And Congresswoman Wagner is going to address that because she's actually in a meeting negotiating some of that stuff right now. But they had a cabinet meeting yesterday. And they talked to a little bit of everything. But this is Trump talking about his...
I think that was today, the cabinet
meeting.
Was it today?
Yeah, it was this morning.
Just this morning.
That's right. It was this morning. So it was, around 9 or so, I guess, that they had that meeting.
It was 2 hours. Fox News carried the whole thing.
Oh, did they really? That's got to be great for the advertisers. So take a cut 31. Let's take a listen to this one.
It would mean a 58% tax hike if they were successful, and lots of other bad things beyond the tax hike. But with us, it'll be the biggest tax cut in American history. Like I said, the biggest tax cut in the history of our country. And it would be the biggest tax increase if the Democrats are successful. They're the only people I've ever seen running for office where they want to increase taxes. But this would be a 58, maybe a 60% tax increase. Unsustainable for the American people.
It's kind of amazing that we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Trump has managed to get the Democrats in favor of keeping illegal aliens here, keeping people who have committed crimes, and in some cases heinous crimes, in this country, and they're in favor of 58% tax increases. That's what he's been able to do, and it just plays with the whole mental illness that they talk about that has happened in the Democrat Party and kind of where they are today. And a guy who really made that point, and I thought this was kind of interesting, and we talked about him a little bit yesterday, Stephen A. Smith has become a guy who has really ventured away from sports and gotten into politics. So before I get out of here on this segment, I just wanted to say he's kind of laid out of why none of the Democrats are going to be able to beat Donald Trump, 23.
Despite his low approval ratings, he's still more popular than the Democrats. So it's really the ultimate indictment against the Democratic Party, because, again, despite the noise that he has made and despite unfavorably he's looked upon, the Democrats still can't beat him, because you still have nobody to beat him. You don't have a face that resonates nationally. You don't have somebody who's dogged in their beliefs who happen to be able to resonate. We saw Cory Booker, the senator who's been a guest on this show, speak for 25 straight hours. Not too many people cared.
I love that part. Not too many people cared. They're trying to find a face. AOC seems to be that person. We may hear more about that coming up. But it's funny. Stephen A. Smith, the thing I do like about him, he calls a spade a spade. I mean, he's out there talking about stuff and going, you're not going to beat him. He's kicking your butt every day, and you can't find any way to get out of it. Hey, we are going to talk to Congresswoman Ann Wagner. She is Missouri's 2nd Congressional District Congresswoman. She is in a committee meeting right now. She's going to step out and talk to us real quick on the other side of the break. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today while he's still in Greece. Still bitter, party of one. On 97.1 FM Talk.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on The Mark Reardon Show. You know, it started off kind of crappy here, to be honest with you today. Woke up with all kinds of rain and nastiness, but the afternoons turned out to be pretty good. There's actually some sunshine out there right now, as the Cardinals actually won the first of a doubleheader today, so the day's turning out to be pretty good. I don't know what the weather's like in Washington, D.C., but that's where we find Congresswoman Ann Wagner joining us today. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm great. You have lifted my spirits, Mike. If the Cardinals win and the sun is shining in Missouri's 2nd Congressional District, I've got no complaints at all. And I just stepped out of a contentious financial services, I have to say, markup piece of legislation that we're doing that's really getting rid of waste, fraud, and agency abuses. That, I mean, we're taking care of duplicative agencies, redundancy, making sure that the taxpayers' money is being spent properly. And what's happening is this is all part of something that each one of the 12 committees is doing in Congress to be able to put the president's big, beautiful tax bill together. So we are looking to cut spending, and we here in financial services are going to be cutting a good $5 billion today, I think. Fingers crossed by the time Maxine Waters and the Democrats finish bloviating. And this has been going on, I imagine it'll go well into the wee hours of the night. But it's really, at the end of the day, Mike, about making sure that the people do not face probably the largest tax increase in American history. And this bill, once we finally get the package completed and take care of the almost $1.5 to $2 trillion worth of cuts that we hope to be making to add to this, it's going to increase money, frankly, to the border, which, let me remind your listeners, that it's 94% closed and shut down to illegal migrants that have been flooding across over the last 4 years, thanks to Joe Biden.
Wow, what a change, huh?
It's like night and day, and we're also really cutting down on the fentanyl. It's still there, especially over the border closer to Arizona, but we have done a lot, and we've added more money and more funding and more ability to build that wall, make sure we've got the barriers up so that this doesn't happen again. This piece of legislation overall will also plus up our funding of our military, and it's going to free American energy independence. So, but most of all, what we're doing in the lead up to this is each committee, including the one that I'm senior in right now, financial services, we're getting rid of that waste, fraud, and abuse in these agencies. And this overall tax bill will also include not just the border, military, and energy, but also when it comes to taxes, we are getting rid of taxes on Social Security and on tips. So no tax on tips, no tax on your Social Security tax taxes. So our checks that come through. So keeping taxes low for hardworking American families is what this is about, and small businesses too. They're the backbone of our economic system and of America. So we're going to keep those low also. So that's what I'm involved in as we speak.
You know, it's kind of interesting when you talk about everything that you just laid out there, and then you say, I'm sitting in a contentious hearing right now. I'm kind of amazed because we've heard about waste, fraud, and abuse, I don't know, forever, about what's in government. And every level of government has some level of it. I mean, the federal government, because it's so big, you figure there's got to be a whole lot more than a local government level, let's say. But it's kind of funny that the Democrats have decided to push back, basically, on waste, fraud, and abuse. It's like, really, that's something that you want to hang your hat on these days.
And they want to cost taxpayers, the hardworking taxpayers of America, more money. And we're doing things like, you know, shuttering the alphabet soup of agencies and or folding their work into another agency. I won't go into all the, as I said, the CFPB, the PCAOB. I could talk on and on
alphabet
what we're doing
soup
with all of them. But it's that's important stuff. It's duplicative. It's redundant. And there is a better way to go about this. And the president ran on this, and he's delivering on what he ran on. Which
that's
is
really the big thing.
Ran in the overreach of the federal government. So he's done a lot in his first 100 days,
It's one of those kind of things where you can't be surprised by everything that he's doing because he spent 2 years telling you this is exactly what he was going to do. And he's basically fulfilling his promises. Are you back to a regular rhythm? Because you went on a big trip. You were actually at the Pope's funeral, but you covered a lot of ground on that trip.
I did. The speaker asked me here in the 119th Congress to serve on the Intelligence Committee. It's quite an honor, a very coveted post for some of our most senior and serious and effective leaders in the House. There are only 13 that serve in the majority, 10 in the minority. So I'm serving on our Intelligence Committee. I've been spending far too much time in a skiff. And let me just tell you, listening to scary stuff, but it's important work. And in that work, I was in the United Kingdom speaking to, they're part of what's called the Five Eyes, UK, US, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, that we have very close ties with the intelligence community and intelligence sharing. Really is the basis for our keeping eyes on the world and what's going on. And spent time with the Speaker of the House, their Foreign Secretary. We talked about everything from the trade deals, and they're confident that they're going to get one here in just a few weeks. Met with St. Louis companies and businesses overseas while I was there, and listened to the progress with their international trade deals. We talked a good deal about, frankly, Ukraine and Russia and Putin's aggression on Ukraine, and that the foreign secretary really thought that President Trump's stance that Putin is needlessly stalling these negotiations, he agreed with it, and it was only leading to more killing, and our president and others are absolutely insistent that they're going to bring a just end to this war. So then it was on to Jordan. Spent time with King Abdullah and many of the ministers in Jordan, and they're a key Arab nation in the region that's advancing regional security and helping out with what we're hoping to get to, which is a durable stability in the Middle East, and really root out radical Islamic groups that want to scream and chant death to Israel, death to America, and We had very good meetings with the folks in Jordan, and then on to Israel. We were there for Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was extremely moving. Talked to hostage families. We still have five American hostages, maybe only four alive. We're not entirely sure. Only one alive of the five. Americans, yes. A total of 29 were trying to still get out, but five of them are American citizens, and we wanted to underscore that. Met with Minister Netanyahu and talked a lot about the threat that Iran poses, again, not only to Israel, but to the United States, and how they must never get a nuclear weapon. So, and they must stop funding terrorist proxies like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and others. So I head up the Abraham Accords Caucus, which is something that President Trump created, and I'm advancing his achievements in the Middle East and fighting back against terrorism abroad. So I was in those three countries before I got the just magnificent call from our House leadership, the Speaker and Leader Scalise, asking me to join and be one of 10 House members to be there for the funeral of His Holiness Pope Francis. So I then hit over to Rome, and it was just a humbling honor of a lifetime to be there and to be present.
There's just so much that's been going on lately, just all around the world. But just looking at the countries that you hit on that trip, it really kind of brings back to the fact that we are in a dangerous place around the world right now. And there are so many spots that at any given time can flare up and turn into the next crisis. And you're seeing a lot of things that you were touching right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you that President Trump is at the forefront of making sure that we don't entangle ourselves in foreign wars, that we make sure that Europe is stepping up and doing its part. But, you know, we have to present strength and leadership on the foreign stage, especially when it comes to our intelligence, our military acumen. And as I said, to then top it all off with being there a year ago last week, both Ray, my husband Ray, and I actually met for the first time Pope Francis and prayed with him. And then a year later, to myself, just to be there for his funeral service, just a humble man, lived a simple life of service to the poor and others. It was magnificent. So that was the real joy on top of really being out there, as you said, in these places that are hotspots. And I am working to push back and fight against China. It's China, 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 everywhere you go, Iran and those terrorist proxies in the Middle East. North Korea is also still of concern, but and Russia, too. We are, I don't know that they're being good actors in these negotiations, and the president has called Putin on the carpet, and he will continue to persist in that. And as I said, my role with the Intelligence Committee has really highlighted so many of these things. But most of all, we want to deliver for the American people. And that's what we're doing now as we get this big, beautiful bill across the finish line. The House is going to try and do its work over the next several weeks by Memorial Day. Then we'll kick it to the Senate. And hopefully by the 4th of July, we'll come to something. But to an agreement, as I said, to keep just to stop the largest tax increase in America's history, and unleash, as I said, energy security and fund our military, keep our borders safe, and these things are important. And this president, in his first 100 days, has done a lot and has made good on his campaign promises and reverses the course on the damage that President Biden inflicted on our nation. You know, under Joe Biden, we had a 40-year high in both inflation and interest rates. So illegal boarding crosses were out of control. Tens of millions illegals here in our nation. But now our allies are stepping up. They're defending, their defense spending. We've started, as we talked about, end foreign wars. Gas prices have dropped. Energy production is flying. I was pleased to be very much a part of protecting women's sports. When we passed that legislation in the House and the president signed his executive order to say men may not play in women's sports or be in their locker rooms. That was a big initiative of mine, along with the SAVE Act, which secured our elections and the election integrity. You know, you got to present a photo ID. You've got to have proof of citizenship to vote in the United States of America. Common sense, but these are the kinds of things, Mike, that this president has led the effort on, and in decreasing spending and shrinking the size of government. And it's been kind of at a breakneck speed, but it's been marvelous to be a part of. So
we were talking about yesterday of all the different things, the different ways that we talk about it, of drinking from a fire hose or flooding the zone or whatever. But there has never been in the history of a presidency this busy of a 100 days. I mean, when I'm talking to correspondents who have covered multiple presidents, they've all said the same thing. They've never seen this pace in Washington, D.C. And when I got the chance to visit you back in the beginning of March and talking with your staff and other people in D.C., they were all saying the same thing. We've never seen this kind of pace. And we joked about yesterday that Trump is really swinging for the fences all the time. And even if he doesn't hit a home run, he's getting triples. He's getting doubles, just to beat that Cardinal analogy, since they hit home runs all day today. But when you get to that point, you're seeing monumental changes that's happening for the United States of America. And I know we'll let you go because you've got to get back to where you are. But we'll end where we started on this big, beautiful bill and how important it is to get that across the finish line. Just to recap that timeline, you touched on a little bit. When do you think this bill will actually cross the finish line in the House, and what's the next process after that is done?
Well, I told you we're working at the committee level now. We've got 12 committees of jurisdiction in the House, and we're all going through the process I'm going through right now here in financial services, which is to find that waste, fraud, and abuse, those redundancies, those agencies that need to be reined in, and we're finding savings and cutting spending, saving taxpayer dollars that will all go towards it. So this will happen up until through the month of May, and then we hope to have our work done in the House by the end of May, by Memorial Day, and then it should go on to the Senate. And they will hopefully finish up their work in the Senate, we hope, by 4th of July. And what a 4th of July it'll be if we can get this all done for the American people.
Well,
so,
Congresswoman, we appreciate you taking the time. We will let you go, but thanks for fighting the good fight for those across the country, across Missouri, and especially the 2nd Congressional District. Thanks again for the time.
Thank you, Mike. Take care, and all the best to your listeners.
That is Congresswoman Ann Wagner. We appreciate her giving us some time today. I was at a groundbreaking the other day for Mercy Hospital out in Wentzville. We're going to talk with Marie Moore. She's the president of Mercy Washington and Lincoln Communities about what's going on with Mercy Healthcare. That's coming up. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on The Mark Reardon Show. You know, it started off kind of crappy here, to be honest with you, today. Woke up with all kinds of rain and nastiness, but the afternoons turned out to be pretty good. It's actually some sunshine out there right now, as the Cardinals actually won the first of a doubleheader today, so the day's turning out to be pretty good. I don't know what the weather's like in Washington, D.C., but that's where we find Congresswoman Ann Wagner joining us today. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm great. You have lifted my spirits, Mike. If the Cardinals win and the sun is shining in Missouri's 2nd Congressional District, I've got no complaints at all. And I just stepped out of a contentious financial services, I have to say, markup piece of legislation that we're doing that's really getting rid of waste, fraud, and agency abuses that, I mean, we're taking care of duplicative agencies, redundancy, making sure that the taxpayers' money is being spent properly. And what's happening is this is all part of something that each one of the 12 committees is doing in Congress to be able to put the president's big, beautiful tax bill together. So we are looking to cut spending, and we here in financial services are going to be cutting a good $5 billion today, I think. Fingers crossed, by the time Maxine Waters and the Democrats finish bloviating, and this has been going on a lot. I imagine it'll go well into the wee hours of the night, but it's really at the end of the day, Mike, about making sure that the people do not face probably the largest tax increase in American history. And this bill, once we finally get the package completed and take care of the almost $1.5 to $2 trillion worth of cuts that we hope to be making to add to this, it's going to increase money, frankly, to the border, which let me remind your listeners that it's 94% closed and shut down to illegal migrants that have been flooding across over the last 4 years, thanks to Joe Biden.
Wow, what a change, huh?
It's like night and day, and we're also really cutting down on the fentanyl. It's still there, especially over the border closer to Arizona, but we have done a lot. And we've added more money and more funding and more ability to build that wall, make sure we've got the barriers up so that this doesn't happen again. This piece of legislation overall will also plus up our funding of our military, and it's going to free American energy independence. So, but most of all, what we're doing in to lead up to this is each committee, including the one that I'm senior in right now, financial services, we're getting rid of that waste, fraud, and abuse in these agencies. And this overall tax bill will also include not just the border, military, and energy, but also when it comes to taxes, we are getting rid of taxes on Social Security and on tips. So no tax on tips, no tax on your Social Security taxes, so our checks that come through. So keeping taxes low for hardworking Americans' families is what this is about, and small businesses, too. They're the backbone of our economic system and of America, so we're going to keep those low also. So that's what I'm involved in as we speak.
You know, it's kind of interesting when you talk about everything that you just laid out there, and then you say, I'm sitting in a contentious hearing right now. I'm kind of amazed, because we've heard about waste, fraud, and abuse, I don't know, forever, about what's in government. And every level of government has some level of it. I mean, the federal government, because it's so big, you figure there's got to be a whole lot more than a local government level, let's say. But it's kind of funny that the Democrats have decided to push back, basically, on waste, fraud, and abuse. It's
they
like,
have.
Really, that's something that you want to hang your hat on these days.
And they want to cost taxpayers, the hardworking taxpayers of America, more money. And we're doing things like, you know, shuttering the alphabet soup of agencies and or folding their work into another agency. I won't go into all the, as I said, the CFPB, the PCAOB. I could talk on and on
alphabet
what we're doing
soup
with all of them. But it's that's important stuff. It's duplicative. It's redundant. And there is a better way to go about this. And the president ran on this, and he's delivering on what he ran on. Which
that's
is
really the big thing.
Reining the overreach of the federal government. So he's done a lot in his first 100 days.
It's one of those kind of things where you can't be surprised by everything that he's doing, because he spent 2 years telling you this is exactly what he was going to do. And he's basically fulfilling his promises. Are you back to a regular rhythm? Because you went on a big trip. You were actually at the Pope's funeral, but you covered a lot of ground on that trip.
I did. The speaker asked me here in the 119th Congress to serve on the Intelligence Committee. It's quite an honor, a very coveted post for some of our most senior and serious and effective leaders in the House. There are only 13 that serve in the majority, 10 in the minority. So I'm serving on our Intelligence Committee. I've been spending far too much time in a skiff. And let me just tell you, listening to scary stuff, but it's important work. And in that work, I was in the United Kingdom speaking to, they're part of what's called the Five Eyes, UK, US, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, that we have very close ties with the intelligence community and intelligence sharing. Really is the basis for our keeping eyes on the world and what's going on. And spent time with the Speaker of the House, their Foreign Secretary, We talked about everything from the trade deals, and they're confident that they're going to get one here in just a few weeks. Met with St. Louis companies and businesses overseas while I was there, and listened to the progress with their international trade deals. We talked a good deal about, frankly, Ukraine and Russia and Putin's aggression on Ukraine, and that the foreign secretary really thought that President Trump's stance that Putin is needlessly stalling these negotiations, he agreed with it, and it was only leading to more killing, and our president and others are absolutely insistent that they're going to bring a just end to this war. So then it was on to Jordan. Spent time with King Abdullah and many of the ministers in Jordan, and they're a key Arab nation in the region that's advancing regional security and helping out with what we're hoping to get to, which is a durable stability in the Middle East, and really root out radical Islamic groups that want to scream and chant death to Israel, death to America. And we had very good meetings with the folks in Jordan, and then on to Israel. We were there for Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was extremely moving. Talked to hostage families. We still have 5 American hostages, maybe only 4 alive. We're not entirely sure. Only 1 alive of the 5. Americans, yes. A total of 29 we're trying to still get out, but 5 of them are American citizens. And we wanted to underscore that. Met with Minister Netanyahu and talked a lot about the threat that Iran poses, again, not only to Israel, but to the United States, and how they must never get a nuclear weapon. So,
right.
And they must stop funding terrorist proxies like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and others. So I head up the Abraham Accords Caucus, which is something that President Trump created, and I'm advancing his achievements in the Middle East and fighting back against terrorism abroad. So I was in those 3 countries before I got the just magnificent call from our House leadership, the Speaker and Leader Scalise, asking me to join and be one of 10 House members to be there for the funeral of His Holiness Pope Francis. So I then hit over to Rome, and it was just a humbling honor of a lifetime to be there and to be present.
There's just so much that's been going on lately, just all around the world. But just looking at the countries that you hit on that trip, it really kind of brings back to the fact that we are in a dangerous place around the world right now. And there's so many spots that at any given time can flare up and turn into the next crisis. And you're seeing a lot of things that you were touching right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you that President Trump is at the forefront of making sure that we don't entangle ourselves in foreign wars, that we make sure that Europe is stepping up and doing its part. But, you know, we have to present strength and leadership on the foreign stage, especially when it comes to our intelligence, our military acumen. And as I said, to then top it all off with being there a year ago last week, both Ray, my husband Ray, and I actually met for the first time Pope Francis and prayed with him. And then a year later, to myself, just to be there for his funeral service, just a humble man, lived a simple life of service to the poor and others. It was magnificent. So that was the real joy on top of really being out there, as you said, in these places that are hot spots. And I am working to push back and fight against China. It's China, 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 everywhere you go, Iran and those terrorist proxies in the Middle East. North Korea is also still of concern, and Russia, too. We are, I don't know that they're being good actors in these negotiations, and the president has called Putin on the carpet, and he will continue to persist in that. And as I said, my role with the Intelligence Committee has really highlighted so many of these things. But most of all, we want to deliver for the American people, and that's what we're doing now. as we get this big, beautiful bill across the finish line. The House is going to try and do its work over the next several weeks by Memorial Day. Then we'll kick it to the Senate, and hopefully by the 4th of July we'll come to something, but to an agreement, as I said, to stop the largest tax increase in America's history, and unleash, as I said, energy security and fund our military, keep our borders safe. And these things are important. And this president, in his first 100 days, has done a lot and has made good on his campaign promises and reverses the course on the damage that President Biden inflicted on our nation. You know, under Joe Biden, we had a 40-year high in both inflation and interest rates. So illegal boarding crosses were out of control. Tens of millions illegals here in our nation. But now our allies are stepping up. They're defending, their defense spending. We've started, as we talked about, end foreign wars. Gas prices have dropped. Energy production's flying. I was pleased to be very much a part of protecting women's sports when we passed that legislation in the House and the president signed his executive order to say men may not play in women's sports or be in their locker rooms. That was a big initiative of mine, along with the SAVE Act, which secured our elections and the election integrity. You know, you got to present a photo ID. You've got to have proof of citizenship to vote in the United States of America. Common sense. But these are the kinds of things, Mike, that this president has led the effort on, and in decreasing spending and shrinking the size of government. And it's been kind of at a breakneck speed, but it's been marvelous to be a part of. So
we were talking about yesterday of all the different things, the different ways that we talk about it, of drinking from a fire hose or flooding the zone or whatever. But there has never been in the history of a presidency this busy of a 100 days. I mean, when I'm talking to correspondents who have covered multiple presidents, they've all said the same thing. They've never seen this pace in Washington, D.C. And when I got the chance to visit you back in the beginning of March and talking with your staff and other people in D.C., they were all saying the same thing. We've never seen this kind of pace. And we joked about yesterday that Trump is really swinging for the fences all the time. And even if he doesn't hit a home run, he's getting triples. He's getting doubles, just to beat that Cardinal analogy, since they hit home runs all day today. But when you get to that point, you're seeing monumental changes that's happening for the United States of America. And I know we'll let you go because you've got to get back to where you are. But we'll end where we started on this big, beautiful bill and how important it is to get that across the finish line. Just to recap that timeline, you touched on a little bit. When do you think this bill will actually cross the finish line in the House, and what's the next process after that is done?
Well, I told you we're working at the committee level now. We've got 12 committees of jurisdiction in the House, and we're all going through the process I'm going through right now here in financial services, which is to find that waste, fraud, and abuse, those redundancies, those agencies that need to be reined in, and we're finding savings and cutting spending, saving taxpayer dollars that will all go towards it. So this will happen up until through the month of May, and then we hope to have our work done in the House by the end of May, by Memorial Day, and then it should go on to the Senate. And they will hopefully finish up their work in the Senate, we hope, by 4th of July. And what a 4th of July it'll be if we can get this all done for the American people.
Well,
so,
Congresswoman, we appreciate you taking the time. We will let you go, but thanks for fighting the good fight for those across the country, across Missouri, and especially the 2nd Congressional District. Thanks again for the time.
Thank you, Mike. Take care, and all the best to your listeners.
It's a Mark Reardon Show on a hump day. Mike Elam filling in for Mark Reardon today. Thanks for letting us be a part of your day. Got a chance to be a part of a groundbreaking ceremony the other day out in Winnsville. It's actually in the northwest corner, I guess, of where I-70 and Highway 4064 all come together. Mercy is building a brand new hospital. And here to join us to talk about it is the president of Mercy Washington and Lincoln Communities, Marie Moore. Marie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I know you've had a crazy day and been in meetings and everything, so thanks for making time to jump out and talk with us a little bit. You know, the groundbreaking the other day was really amazing. I know there's been a lot of conversation about Mercy building a hospital in St. Charles County for a number of years, but it's finally coming together, and I was just curious, what made you decide to pick that particular location to put your new hospital in St. Charles County?
Yes. Well, I would say, first and foremost, a lot of those conversations started happening years ago, as you kind of alluded to. And I think it was really that partnership with our Sisters of Mercy, as well as our Mercy leadership team, that saw the potential in that area really more than a decade ago. And I think we've seen some of that come to fruition with the exploding population growth that we've seen in the area. And so I think it's just truly amazing how all of those components are coming together, from having the physical space, the location, and an extraordinary amount of patients to serve in that community.
You know, you were talking about the explosion that's happening there. Wentzville is one of the fastest growing townships in the state of Missouri. St. Charles County is still the fastest growing county, but Wentzville and then getting out to Forestell and that area is really seeing an explosion that's happening there. But putting it at this particular area, the interesting thing I found about that, and I talked a little bit about it at the groundbreaking, this is where 40 and 70 come together, is the largest MoDOT contract that has ever been awarded at over $638 million. Your project, I believe, is about $650 million. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Yep. So you roll all that together, you're talking about an investment right there, really, in probably a 2-square-mile area. You're talking about $1.3 billion of investment that is coming together. And I know all the folks out in the western part of St. Charles County are thrilled to have Mercy making such a huge investment there. How big is that campus actually going to be?
Yes, it will be 60 acres.
Wow.
Yes, truly a ton of space, which is going to be wonderful for our patients and families that that go to seek care there.
What kind of timeline are we looking at?
It'll be about 4 years in totality. We've started a lot of the process already. So, of course, being able to celebrate your birthday at the groundbreaking was wonderful.
That was great.
It was great. We have some key milestones that have already started hitting the timeline, but we are, again, really excited to open up the services as soon as possible.
Well, I appreciate the fact, you know, as I've talked about before, people go a long way to throw surprise parties, but to put a $650 million surprise party together for me really meant a lot. I appreciate that very much. Hey, I appreciate the fact that you took time to get out of your busy schedule and to be here. Mercy has got an awful lot that is going on in the St. Louis area, and I hope that you will come back with us as we get through closer phases of opening up and giving some updates of what's going on with this state-of-the-art hospital that you are putting in St. Charles County.
Absolutely. And I think the community advisory committee that Mercy has stood up in that area, that's a great place. I know I'll continue to be there and hopefully see you there, and continuing to listen to the community to understand what's needed really across the broader region is so important to us. So absolutely, we'll be side by side there with you.
That is Marie Moore, president of Mercy Washington and Lincoln. We appreciate the time. Sue's News is coming up on the other side.
Get more at 971talk.com.